Looks like my cat got a hold of my button. Genesis 49, that's a weird place to start in the second coming, and isn't it? Or is it?
No, because that was prophecy.
This is all prophecy, isn't it? Prophecy. The title of the last message is, If You Believe in Prophecy. If you believe in prophecy. Now, do you believe in prophecy? Do you believe in prophecy? Out there in the world, and you're listening to these classes, do you believe in prophecy? Prophecy, now let's look at two different things also. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
What's the difference in those two words?
Prophesy means to speak.
Prophecy, to prophesy, and prophecy.
Yeah.
Okay.
The prophecy is not, doesn't have the idea of future event.
With a S, it means to prophesy, to
right.
say before.
With a
C, it means it is a prophetic statement.
Right.
Okay? That's the difference in it. Some people don't know the difference in that, by the way.
Yeah,
with the S and the C. Did you see that before?
Yeah, I've seen
Never.
That a lot of times.
Never. All right. Now, you're educated, lady. You were educated at UCLA? All right. Well, so, you know that...
only on a clear day, UCLA.
I taught about Roman numerals. You know, Roman numerals are not Roman numerals, are they? Those are Greek letters.
Mm-hmm.
Roman numerals, as we call Roman numerals, are not Roman numerals. They are Greek letters. They come from the Greek alphabet. We talked about, you know, different things over the years. Brother Ray went to my classes on Western civilization 40 years ago. And he was teaching we're going up there working at a teacher's house up at Bakersfield College. And you were talking about different things, and she said, "Where did you learn that? Which college you go to?" And he said, "Well, I went to church."
she was like in her 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was totally shocked. You know, a Mexican like me would know anything. You talk about the Mongolians, you talk about the New World, the Fertile Crescent, and all that.
Yeah.
So she was shocked.
Western civilization. Well, when you come in the church house, don't leave your brain out there. Bring it with you, because you're going to need it anyway. Do we believe in prophecy? Do you believe in prophecy? I believe in prophecy. I believe that these men prophesied, and what we have is prophecy. I have no problem reading the last book of Deuteronomy and having that penned by Moses himself. He talks about his death. Well, why is that so hard? Well, he couldn't have talked about his death. Well, why not? How could he not prophesy his death? Let's look at Jacob's prophecy. Jacobu. Can you say Jacobu? Jacobu. All right. That Jacob. Jacob means what? To follow the heel. All right, here we have Jacob's last words in this world recorded by Moses many years later. God inspired him to write these words down. Now, every staff and every one of their skirts had lineage on it, didn't it? That was lineage. The clothes you wore told people who you were. The clothes you wore told people who you were. And your lineage. The staff and the belt they would take around. The staff would have the history of your family carved in it. In early America, the Indians had a pictorial language. And the American continent, I told this to my son the other day, he said, what? And I said, you need to listen to my messages. I said, the American continents were the most populated place in the world. There was probably 150 million people on North America, Mesoamerica, and South America. Probably that many people. The lineage always, in the American Indians, always went to the woman. Always went to the woman like the Jewish people. I'm not saying they're the lost 10 tribes either. That's a bunch of foolishness. Indians are Asian. All right, we're Asian. You see all of this. The Great Plains were created. You see the history of the world. It is a whole lot different than what the Smithsonian Institute told us for so many years. We had propaganda instead of reality. Now here, in the book of Genesis, we have prophecy handed down to them. The American Indians would have blankets, and they would write their history on those blankets. And this is what they call winter count. Now, Indians were named by what they were or what they did. Usually their mother gave them a name, and then later on they earned a name of some sort. My name is Shugamiatatonka in Indian, and that means traveling dog. The wolf that follows the buffalo herd, the traveling, the Shuka is the true dog. The wolf that follows the buffalo herds, and it travels all over. Does that fit me?
Yes.
All right. Okay, travels, one who travels a lot. Those winter blankets told the whole history of the tribe and outstanding events in every year. Their history was written as it happened. And one person in the tribe was given the job as a tribal historian and the one that kept the records. Now guess what happened to all of these records? They said for so many years in the Smithsonian, the Indians had no written history. Hogwash. But what happened to their winter blankets and their history?
They were burned up.
As they burned the tribes and the lodges to the ground, so went the history. There is one that I have seen in Santa Fe, New Mexico that covers 1,000 years. It's still there. It wasn't destroyed. I think it was a Comanche. Well, we have history written here before it happens. And it's valid. I want you to understand. This is prophecy. And as Jacob prophesied with the S, this was as good as if written in stone, just like the law of Moses and just like all of the Word of God. This is foundational. This is eschatology. This is talking about the second coming. We talked about the promises and the prominence in the Bible of the return of Christ. The 49th chapter of the book of Genesis talks about the coming of Christ and the return of Christ also. Both. From Genesis 3:15, this 49th chapter covers from Genesis 3:15 to Revelation, the last chapter and the last verse. It covers it all. Without the coming of Christ and the return of Christ in His second coming, we cannot understand the Scriptures. Did you know that? We cannot understand them. They're the key to the Scripture. They're the combination to the safe. It's the key to the door of the Scriptures. If you don't believe in that, you're just absolutely throwing away so much of biblical understanding and the power and the omniscience of God. The power and omniscience of God. We got people that believe, I talked about the lost 10 tribes. This is what we call British Israelism. One man wrote a letter to me here a while back on the website. He said, one of my friends said that the British people were the lost tribes of Israel. Well, people believe that, but we know genetically that that's not possible. Now that we know how to DNA and all that, that's not what happened. The Jews are Jews. They have been scattered all over the world, but their DNA is there. Now, almost all of us have some Jewish DNA. Did you know that? Every one of us. I do. I have some Jewish DNA in me. How did you get here? Western civilization is how it got here. The Jews, Abraham had how many wives? Three. All right. Sarah was his first wife, but didn't have a child with her for a long time. That is what? She was a Shemite. All right. Pharaoh gave his daughter, Hagar, a little princess of Egypt, to Abraham as a political marriage. How many of you knew that? Okay. She was the daughter of Pharaoh by a concubine, but she was Pharaoh's daughter. And he gave her, Hagar, to Abraham as a wife, but so their children would be his children. And that's why they married. That's why they had political marriages. Because if you went and attacked Egypt, you would be attacking your own family. Okay? So that's why they did political marriages. Solomon had a real good excuse, didn't he, Brother A? He had 1,001 wives. 1,001. Who was the one? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines and one other one, the Queen of Sheba. And she had a child. Haile Selassie said that he was the descendant of Solomon. And now we have the black Jews. That's who they are. Okay. Now all of this prophecy happened way back yonder in time. Let's go back and look at a little of it here. Then Jacob summoned his sons, and he said, assemble yourselves that I may tell you or say to you or prophesy what shall befall you in the days to come. Is this prophecy? Do you believe in prophecy? Okay, this is prophecy right here. And he's going to tell about the whole history of mankind. Now if you go back to Genesis, the 9th chapter, verse 24 onward, you'll find out that even Noah prophesied that the Shemites would hand over reluctantly the scepter of Judah, what we might call the scepter of Judah, and that they would carry on the prophecies of Jesus throughout the church age. They would be replaced for a while. We don't believe in British Israelism, do we? No, we don't believe that the British Empire and France and all of them are all the lost 10 tribes. Did some of the tribes go there? They were scattered all over. Yeah. They were scattered all over. Now, like Augustine, do we believe that the church replaced Israel in replacement theology? No, not totally. Did the church take the place of Israel for a time? Yes. The Genesis, the 9th chapter, said that Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem. That's talking about the gospel, and that's talking about the Gentile churches that would go forth. I may tell you what shall befall you in the days to come. This is prophecy. Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob. Now he's going to use, I want you to see this, sons of Jacob. sons of Jacob. Jacob is Jacob's name, isn't it? Now he's going to use a different name for himself. Oh, listen to Israel, your father. Why did he call himself Israel? God named him that, and that would be the name of his children, Israel. That's what we call the covenant name. The covenant name. Very important. This is the covenant name. When the name Israel is used in the Bible, when the Jews bless their children, guess what they say? Sons and daughters of Israel. Not Jacob, but Israel. Israel. The Jews get their name from what? Judah. 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 The one tribe of Judah. Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen and obey to Israel your father, Reuben. Reuben. What's Reuben mean? Remember what that means? See a son. Reuben. See a son. Reuben. See? Reuben was his firstborn son, wasn't it?
See a son?
Huh?
What do you mean?
See a son. Reuben. Let's break it down here a little bit. Now this is what it is in Hebrew, okay? Ru, and then Ben. To see, and then Ben is son. And what happened when Leah had this child, she said, "Look, Jacob, I have brought you forth a son. See, a son. Now you will love me." She was always trying to get Jacob to love her because Jacob loved Rachel. He only wanted one wife. One wife. Rachel. Rachel means what? It means a little lamb. A little lamb. A delicate little lamb. And Leah? Remember what Leah means?
Her eyes.
It has something to do with her eyes. She probably had blue eyes. They called it weak eyes. People translate weak eyes. But I think what it meant is that her eyes were so beautiful that it made men weak when they looked at her. Their knees. They were just, wow. But then it says that Rachel was beautiful in every way. Leah's eyes were beautiful. But Rachel was beautiful in every way. Now let's go in. They could have been twins, by the way, and Leah would have been the older one and Rachel the younger. That some people believe that. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. When Jacob became the father of Reuben, he was very strong. He was sexually virile, and that's what it means. He was just full of strength when he had that son. Preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. He was supposed to be the heir, wasn't he? What happened? Uncontrolled as water, you shall not have preeminence. You cursed yourself. He cursed himself. Because you went to your father's bed, then you defiled your father's bed. And he went up to my couch. He went up to my wife's bed. The word in Hebrew is nympho, nymphe. All right? That is the woman's bridal bed. That's where she has children. This is her bed. the bride. You defiled, and you went up to my nymphae, to my bridal bed, and dishonored me. And that's the end of that. Zilch. Zilch. Nothing. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Simeon and Levi. Simeon means one who hears, and Levi means join. When Levi was born, now, when Simeon was born, Leah said, "See, God hears me. He hears my prayers." And then when Levi was born, she said, "See, God has joined me to my husband. Every time we are together, I have a kid." This is wonderful. Because Jacob did not want her. That was not the one that he worked for how many years?
Seven
years. How long did he finish working? Over 20 years for these women. But he ended up with four wives, didn't he? Four wives. And he only wanted one. Trouble. It was always trouble. Levi and Simeon. Now what happened was Jacob is going to curse them. He's going to curse Levi and Simeon. Now that name in Israel was a very common name, Simeon or Simon, as we see it with Simon Peter. All right. Now Simeon and Levi had a sister. What was her name? Dinah. Dinah was her name. And by the way, the name Dinah is feminine for Dan. Jacob had two children named Dan. Dinah and Dan. Okay. Dinah was a beautiful girl. And they moved close to Shechem. And they went down to Shechem. And the ruler and his son were there. And the son, Shechem, he thought, "Well, man, that woman's beautiful. I want to marry her." And he took her. Put her in his house. Wouldn't let her go back home. Wouldn't let her go home. And then they didn't want to. They knew that Abraham, the blessings of Abraham all the way down, and they knew who Jacob was. And this is one of Jacob's children, and they don't want to cross that man in any way. But this boy wants this girl as a wife. And so they go, and this boy and his father, the father speaks to the boy. And he says, "My son would like to have your daughter as his wife, and she is residing in our home." She's still a virgin. That's what they said. She's still a Bethulah. She's still a virgin. She hasn't been deflowered or mistreated in any way. And she likes my son, and my son likes her. Now, you don't be worried about how much price you asked me for that girl, because I will pay anything you ask. Just ask anything. Ask five times the price of a bride, and I'll pay it. And the boys, Simeon and Levi, speak up. And they said, "We cannot give our sister to uncircumcised heathens. And you have to be as us. You have to be of our religion, same religion as we are, and you have to be like us. You're going to have to be circumcised." And they talked it over, and they said, "That's all right. We'll be one people then. We'll have one God. We'll all worship the same. We'll all be one big family. That's really great. We'll do this." And so they made the agreement. Dinah was still there. Dinah is not deflowered yet at all. Okay, she's not been raped, even though they accused them of this, because they had her in their house. So they were circumcised, and they were sore after 3 days, it says, and they went in there and murdered every one of them, stole everything they had. Stole it all. And killed all the men. And took all the women as concubines and slaves and all the children and all the horses, all the cows, all the sheep, all the goats. But there was one terrible thing that they did. Are animals important to God, Vincent? They're important. How do we know that? The Bible says not one sparrow falls to the ground that God does not know. Not one sparrow falls to the ground that God does not see, hear, or has compassion for. And God feeds all the animals of the field, doesn't he? Did God make provisions for the animals of the field even in the Sabbath laws? Who was supposed to, on the seventh year, a man that owned the field could not harvest that field, could he? Who was it for? Everything that was in that field, all the orchards, all the grapes, everything else in the field, you know who it's for? The homeless and the poor and the widows and the orphans and the wild animals. They took care of them.
Nothing went to waste.
What?
Nothing went to waste.
Nothing went to waste. But these boys went up there and they slaughtered all these people. And then they took the oxen, which they used as what we call John Deere's and Case tractors and Aulus Chalmers or whatever, you know. Massey Ferguson, this was their tractors of the day. And what did they do to those oxen? They cut their ham, they cut their ligaments, so they could never pull a plow. They could never be used for implements of work. If anybody escaped, they would have no way to even make a living. Their implements, their stock was destroyed.
The boys were wicked.
Now see what Daddy says about the boys. Let's see what Daddy says about the boys. Do you believe in prophecy? Yeah. Why did Levi not have any inheritance in the land? Because of what happened right there. Right. Now Levi, from the sons of Levi, is also the priest.
Right.
Do you see how God uses the lowest forms of crawling life to preach his word? Brother Ray.
I know, I can relate to that.
Yeah, all of us preachers, you know. Boy. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. The word there is Hamas in Hebrew, Hamas. We got that Hamas over there in Palestine, Hamas. That name means violence. Their swords are implements of Hamas, violence. If you want to look it up on Brown, Driver, and Biggs, it's on page 329, by the way. Let my soul not enter into their counsel. They started the Canaanite wars. Jacob says, I will stink in the nostrils of all of the people in the land, and they had a war. And by the way, according to history, even those atheists out there that don't believe in biblical history, there was a war where 100,000 plus Canaanites lost their lives over this little episode here. Let not my glory be united with their assembly and their council, because in their anger they slew men. And that's not all. And in their self-will, they lamed the oxen. Animals. Innocent animals. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce. Cursed be their wrath, for it is cruel. I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Zilch. They didn't have any farms, did they? They didn't have any inheritance. They were supposed to live off the rest of them, what they made. Now it comes to Judah. Now, what kind of a guy was Judah? Again, what kind of a guy was Judah? A man that followed his lust, wasn't he? Man that followed his lust, but God used him. He had three sons, didn't he? Three rats, I might say, from Canaanite women, which he wasn't supposed to be marrying him. And these boys, two of them, he went out and made a contract for Tamar. Tamar means tall and statuesque, and it means palm tree, like a palm tree. Beautiful woman. Gave her to his one son, and God killed him because he was worthless. Gave her to the next son, and God killed him. And promised her to his other son, and then he wouldn't do it. He lied to her. Told her to go home into her father's house until the other boy got big enough to be her husband, and he was, but he didn't give him to her. His wife, in the meanwhile, died, and he said, I'm going to go by the red light district, and I'm going to go find me a woman. Well, I'm going sheep shearing, I'm going to have a little fun. So he goes out there and he sees this prostitute sitting on the side of the road. And by the way, this is not just a plain top prostitute. What kind of prostitute is she? You remember Vincent? What kind, Brother Ray? What kind of prostitute was she? She was a temple prostitute. A pagan god. She's a pagan. And her money that she's earning as a prostitute, she's given to the pagan gods. He goes by there, and it didn't bother him at all, being with a pagan. He said, how much do you charge me to sleep with me? And she said, well, what do you give me? All right, where's your money? I don't have any right now. What are you going to give me to make sure that you pay this bill? Well, how about your staff and your belt and your signet ring telling me who you are? He said, so what? Yeah. And so he is with her, except she's not a temple prostitute, is she? She's a daughter-in-law. She's a daughter-in-law.
Did she keep veiled?
She was veiled.
I mean, how is he not?
She was veiled.
I mean,
she was veiled. Evidently, he didn't know her much very well. But she got pregnant with twins. And he sent somebody back to pay her to get his belt and staff. And this tells him who he is. This belt is like a genealogy, and the staff is a genealogy. And the signet ring is definitely tells who he is. And they can't find the girl. And so Tamar shows up pregnant, and she's played the harlot. And what was old Judah going to do to her?
Burn her.
He was going to burn her. Yeah. Burn her. Burn her alive. That was what he's going to do. I'm going to burn her. And what they do is they would go get some type of petroleum product or olive oil that's flammable. They take a rope and they dip it in that, soak it in that, and they stuff it down her throat, hold her out there, tie her up down into a cesspool. She'd be sitting in a cesspool when this happened. And they'd light her up until she suffocated, and they'd burn her up. That's what Judah was going to do to her. What happened? Who did you fool around with? The guy that has his staff and his belt and his signet ring here. And what did he say to her? You are more righteous than I am. And so she had a child. She had these children, and by the way, this is the seed that will become Christ. God used this man. As ungodly as he was, God used him. All you preachers out there listening, he can us use us ungodly buzzards. If we allow him to. Judah, your brother shall praise you. Now, this is another thing. If I was God, I wouldn't write all this bad stuff down there, would you?
Nope.
In this book?
I'd be very selective. Whatever.
Very selective what we put down in history, but God just said it like it was.
Right.
To show us how low down we are. Judah, your brother shall praise you, your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Now, what's going on here? Joseph had a dream, didn't he? He had a prophecy dream, a prophetic dream. And he said that his mother and father and all of his brothers would bow down to him, didn't he?
Yep.
It's going to happen again now, but from a different angle. Joseph was a type of Christ in many, many ways. They say over 150 times, some people say 70 ways that he was a type of Christ to come. And yes, he was. But Judah, let's see what it says about Judah. Your father's son shall bow down to you. How many people during Jesus' ministry of all the tribes of Israel, he went to the lost sheep of Israel, didn't he? How many of them did bow down to him? Many did. The religious leaders didn't. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches. He lies down as a lion. As a lion who dares to rouse him up. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Who was that? Who was really the lion of the tribe of Judah?
Jesus.
The scepter, what does that mean? What's a scepter, Vincent? What is a scepter?
Like a staff or some sort?
It's royalty.
Authority.
It is a monument or a token to show the monument. Remember when the Pharaoh used to sit there and they had two staffs? What were those two staffs for? You remember?
Mm-hmm. One was a flail for punishment, had the little things on it.
What did they mean? One typified Lower Egypt and one typified Upper Egypt. That he was the king or the pharaoh of Upper and Lower Egypt of the whole shooting match. That's what those two things were for. They typified Upper and Lower Egypt. Alright? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. It will never depart from Judah. Because Jesus Christ is Adonai Adonaiim, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it won't be fulfilled until he comes back, will it? Now how is this prophecy going to be fulfilled if he does not come the first time,
amen,
and the second time, and in all reality that third and final and glorious time? Let's get this straightened out here. I hope I'm helping you with this out there in the world, and you have to be looking at this video. We have the first coming of Christ. The law and the prophets were until what?
John.
After that is preached what? The kingdom of God. The king had come. Adonai Adonaiim. We have the church age that we live in today. We have Israel dispersed because of their sin of rejecting our Messiah, and they're going to be dispersed for the whole term of the church age. They will be set aside. Japheth will dwell in the tents of Shem, the ninth chapter of Genesis, okay? See, we're all the way back in Genesis, aren't we? We're going to go to the book of Revelation. We're going to go through the whole thing, but we're going to look, where does it come from? The Bible is one book. And the Bible is prophecy. Do you believe in prophecy? I do. The Bible prophesied in Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19 that Israel would be dispersed. Why? For rejecting the Messiah. Israel was dispersed throughout the land at one time in what we call in the diaspora, the Babylonian and the Assyrian captivity. Mm-hmm. Were they not?
Yes.
Now, if you ask a Jew why they were out there, they'll say it's so we could teach the world how wonderful we are. And the Jews were scattered after they killed and murdered, the call for the murder and death of their Messiah king, because they did that. And this time they're going to be out there a whole lot longer. But it says in Ezekiel 36 through 20 through 24 that Israel shall be regathered. And when you see this begin to happen, look up, for your redemption draws nigh, and we're looking for the coming, the second coming of Messiah. The first coming came to, of course, to Genesis 3:15, and now we have in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, we have the parousia coming of Jesus, where he does what? He raptures all the saved on the earth and takes his church, and he's going to be married with her for at least 7 years. Now, here we have this 7-year tribulation period after the church age. What is God going to do? He's going to beat up Israel and make her want him as her king. And that will take place after the Antichrist stands up in the temple there in Jerusalem. And they will have a temple in Jerusalem. And they will begin their services and their sacrifices again, which is blasphemy to God. Do you know that? Why are there sacrifices? If the Jews offer a sacrifice today, why is it blasphemy?
Because Jesus died once for all.
Because they all typify Christ and they're crucifying Jesus back. And what does the book of Hebrews say? To crucify him again is what? There is no redemption. There is no forgiveness of sins. You crucify him again. Well, they're going to do that for about 3.5 years until God gets finished with it and turns that Antichrist loose on them. And that's going to drive them to him finally in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And that is 7-year period of time. Daniel, Ezekiel, Revelation all talk about it, don't they? The many books in the New Testament. 25 verses, 30 verses, 25 verses in the New Testament, then you have a prophecy of the coming of Christ. The 1,000-year reign of Christ were the Davidic, and this covenant here is finished. This is what we call the Abrahamic, and the Davidic covenant are irrevocable and what? Unconditional covenant. Have nothing to do. Salvation is an unconditional covenant. If it wasn't for God, we'd be lost 1,000 times, wouldn't we? Mm-hmm. After we've been saved. Because we're sinners by nature. Well, that Israel's, the kingdom restoration of Israel, 36, 25 through 38. That's real. It's prophecy, people. It's not. Let's not spiritualize it away and try to make it into something it isn't. We have the devil thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years in Revelation 27-9. And all of his emissaries and all of the demons, there won't be any demonic or Luciferian what we might call influence on the earth for 1,000 years, and people will still be bad. Because we are bad by nature. Let's go on a little further now. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh come. And what does Shiloh come? What does that mean? Until the Lord come. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Now we know that didn't happen back then, did it? Were the people, was national Israel obedient to Jesus? Udamia, not at all. His ties, his fold to the vine. his donkey's colt to the choice vine. What's this talking about? That's when he rode that donkey into Jerusalem. When Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem, what happened? He announced himself king of Israel. And he denounced the leaders of Israel as debunk. Remember what he did when he went in there and turned over the money changers' tables. When he turned loose all those doves and all the animals, turned them loose. Why? The king had come. The final greatest sacrifice of all mankind out of the whole history of the world was going to take place. And he's taken over and saying, you are bankrupt. Remember, in the pagan temples, they all had banks. And the word bankrupt means broken bench. If a priest, the priests were bankers in the pagan temples, and they gave money, people interest on money, and they could put their money in there just like in a bank, which it was a bank at that time, early banks. And if that priest proved to be unworthy and a scoundrel, they would break his bench, bankrupt, and they would take him and publicly whip him and execute him because he was not worthy of the place he was, that he occupied. That's what Jesus told them. You're bankrupt. Your religion is bankrupt. All of your leaders are bankrupt. When he turned over those benches, when he turned loose those animals, he was telling Israel, you are bankrupt. You have gone astray. Now let's go on and see what's going on. And he has ties his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, and he washes his garments in wine. He washes his garments in wine. What is that talking about? Revelation, the 19th chapter. Wine there is typical of blood. Blood. Now, two times Jesus' garments were washed in blood when they were on his back, when he was beaten, and on the cross of Calvary, when he shed his blood. And then when he comes back, he's going to tread the wine press of the wrath of God, and the blood is going to flow deep. He's going to walk through that river of blood of his enemies. And his robes in blood of grapes. Let's go to Revelation, the 19th chapter, and I keep going there because I love this chapter. I love Revelation, the 19th chapter. It gives me great hope. Revelation chapter 19. And I saw heaven, verse number 11, open. Behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and righteousness judges and makes war. That's what it's talking about here in Genesis, the 39th chapter. And his eyes are like a flame of fire. We're going to go back and read that. His eyes are like a flame of fire. They're intense. Upon his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon whom no one knows except himself. And that's the name, how do you say the name Jehovah? We will know then. The one who shall become, John 1:14, 1:18, and the armies. His clothes and his robe is dipped in blood, and his name called the Word of God. His clothing are dipped in blood, aren't they? And the armies which are in heaven and clothed in fine white linen, clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes out a sharp sword, and with it he may smite the nations and will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads down the winepress of the wrath, fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, Adonai Ha'Adonaim. That's from the Hebrew, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now let's go back to Genesis, the 49th chapter. Bible's one book, the first book and the last book in it. And he washes his garments in wine. What is the wine?
Blood.
The blood. And his robes in blood of grapes. And his eyes are what? What did it say? Like a flame of fire. His eyes are so intense that the pupils and the iris stands out greatly from the white of the eye. That's what it means. His eyes are darkened. Darkened. You can see the white of his eyes. When somebody is really mad, their eyes get big. They open up. Jesus is mad there on that horse. His eyes are dark from wine, and his teeth white from milk. And then it goes to Zebulun. What does Zebulun mean? Remember? I have this child. My husband will dwell with me now. This means dwelling. Zebulun means dwelling. Shall dwell at the seashore. See there, it uses that word. It's a play on what's like poetry. Zebulun and then to dwell. And he shall be a haven for ships, and his flank shall be toward Sidon. Issachar. Issachar means what? Wages. Wages. Is a strong donkey lying down between sheepfolds. And he saw that a resting place was good, and the land was pleasant, and he bowed his shoulder to bear a burden. Remember? Issachar, wages, like a donkey. Donkey is a beast of burden, isn't it? An ox is a beast of burden. Jesus was our Savior, wasn't he? Was he our servant while on earth? And now we shall be gladly his servants forevermore. And became a slave and forced labor. Dan shall judge his people. Dan means what? Judge. Same as Dinah, feminine. As one who one of the tribes of Israel, shall Jesus judge all of them? Jesus is the righteous judge that shall judge all. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, a horned snake in the path, that bites the horse's heels, so that the rider falls backwards. Verse number 18, for thy salvation I wait, O Lord. As for Gad, what was Gad mean? What does Gad mean? Good luck, fortune. As for Gad, raiders shall raid him, and he shall raid at their heels. And Asher means happy. She's happy. I'm happy. God has heard my prayers. Asher. As for Asher, his food shall be rich. And every one of these in some way is a type of what Christ was to do, wasn't he? And he shall yield royal dainties. That's Eden, Sharon. Remember Eden? Eden, that is God's throne room. Naphtali. Naphtali. Naphtali is a doe. And he gives beautiful words. Beautiful words. Naphtali. He is a doe let loose, free. And he gives beautiful words. And now it comes to Joseph now. And Joseph, all about Joseph, is a type of Christ also. Joseph is a fruitful branch. Jesus was a branch out of dry ground, Nazareth. Nazareth. Okay? What does Joseph mean? Remember what Joseph means? Brother Ray, what's Joseph mean? Come on, Brother Vincent. What's Joseph? Carol? Joseph. Joseph means to increase. Joseph means unstoppable. Joseph means unconquerable. Look at Joseph's life for a moment. Joseph always was in a bad way, wasn't he? Constantly in a bad way. But what happened? Was he ever conquered? No. Never conquered. No, I don't care how bad a shape he was in, no matter what kind of place, in prison, sentenced to death, whatever happened, he overcame it all. Did Jesus overcome death? He sure did. Joseph is a fruitful branch. A fruitful branch by a spring. Its branches run over a wall. Its branches are fruitful, aren't they? Jesus said, I am the what? I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the vine. You are the branches. Israel was a vine, wasn't she? Israel was pulled up and burned up in a brush pile. And guess what? We were grafted into that branch, into that rootstock, weren't we? How many of you ever seen wild olives? Wild olives aren't good for much. But the good olives are. Jesus said you were wild olives. Good for nothing. But I've made you clean. I've grafted you in. The archers bitterly attacked him and shot at him and harassed him. But his bow remained firm, and his arms were agile, and from the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, from there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Jesus said, remember what David said in Psalm 23? For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In John, the 10th chapter, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus told them, I am the stone which the builders rejected. And that stone, what stone were they talking about, Vincent? Do you remember what stone they were talking about? When the Israel thought about a stone, what stone did they think about?
A cornerstone?
What?
A cornerstone?
No.
Like a pebble?
What stone, when Israel thought about this word stone in the Old Testament, what did they think about? The stone which followed them in the wilderness where the water of life came out. The stone, a rock. Now, if you study the Mishnah and the Talmud, it'll say that rock followed them for 40 years. The rock followed them. Jesus, Jehovah, God of the Old Testament, which typified that Shekinah glory over the Ark of the Covenant followed them for 40 years. And that was a rock which Moses struck and which Moses was supposed to talk to the second time, because that stone typified two things, the first and the second coming of Christ. In the first coming of Christ, Moses was supposed to strike that stone and out would flow water. Yes or no? When he was supposed to come the second time, when he was supposed to speak to the rock, and the rock was going to flow forth water, what did he do? He struck it. And he struck at the second type of Christ. Jesus Christ came as a suffering Messiah. But when he comes back again, he's going to come as a God of glory. The stone which the builders rejected. The stone which followed Israel. And Jesus, one time, he said, when they were pouring out the drink offering, he said, come unto me, all ye thirst. And he said, I am the true bread that came down out of heaven, remember? As we look at this. This shepherd is also the stone of Israel. And from the God of your father who helps you, and by the El Shaddai, the Almighty, who blesses you with wishes or with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father have surpassed the blessings of my ancestors. Didn't he? How many children did Abraham have?
Seven.
Well, he had...
Well.
Yeah, he didn't ever have as many as Jacob, did he? He had one by Hagar, one by...
Sarah.
And then
seven, eight.
Six or seven,
yeah.
Or eight by Keturah, which was a Gentile. That still doesn't make up to 12, does it? Jacob had more children than all of them. Surpassed the blessing of my ancestors up to the utmost bound, the everlasting hills. May they be the head of Joseph. And on the crown of the head of the one distinguished. Who's that? Revelation 19 chapter. The crown, Stephanos, with the diademus on it, the streamers of conquest among his brothers. Benjamin is a ravening wolf, and in the morning he devours his prey, and in the evening he divides the spoil. And all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them when he blessed them. He blessed them, every one, with a blessing appropriate to them. Now, some of them he didn't bless quite so well, did he? Levi, Simeon, Reuben. And he charged them, he commanded them, and said to them, I am about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephraim and the Hittite. In the cave, that is the field of double mouth. That's what Machpelah means, two mouths. The cave had two entrances. I've been there. That's quite a place. That ground was holy ground, boy, when I walked on that, I tell you. That affected me going to that place. But bullets were flying. Machine guns everywhere. Grenades and bombs. But being there was something else. Which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abram brought along with the field from Ephraim the Hittite for a burial site. There they buried Abraham and his wife Sarah. There they buried Isaac and his wife Rebekah. And there they buried Leah in the field and the cave that is it purchased from the sons of Heth. And when Jacob finished charging his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed, and he breathed his last breath, and he was carried to his people. Wehemoth is what it says there. Wehemoth. He died and he stayed dead. But I'm going to tell you something. He didn't die. Only thing died about Jacob was his old wore out body. Because he went on to be with these people. He didn't go soul sleeping, did he? He didn't go out of existence. But he went there to wait with the rest of these people until the coming of all the prophecies here in Jesus Christ. And Jacob is up there in heaven today with all them women and all those boys. He's there today waiting for you and for me. Brother Vincent, what song do we have?
516.
Do you believe in prophecy? I do. This is all about prophecy, isn't it? How you look at prophecy has a lot of difference, though, doesn't it? We're going to look at some of them. Some people think that when you die, that's the second coming of Jesus. It's not quite going to work like that.
That's us going.
Yeah. We're not dying, we're going. We're going up there where Jacob is and where Rachel and Leah, all of those boys, where Jesus is dwelling today. Brother.
Jesus, for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins, repenting of them and believing that he came into this world, that he really who he was, that he died for your sins, that he rose from the dead forevermore? That's a beautiful story. That's the gospel. The good news. There is no other good news. People sometimes want to suffer all their life to get to heaven. Jesus suffered on the cross of Calvary for us to get to heaven. Anything else is blasphemy. I went by a place yesterday, a Buddhist monastery. People wasting their lives there. Wasting their lives. Catholic priests in all of these monasteries. Wasting their lives. It's a sad story. People making themselves suffer for what Jesus suffered for. That's blasphemy, people. Our Father, we pray and we send this message out today that people will believe and live. Father, we believe in prophecy and we know that it's so true and that you gave us eternal life through your Son. Father, forgive me where I fail you and help us to glorify you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh.